Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I don't know if you know why we're here, but we're here because God said, be here.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And there was such an urgency to be here talking to you that if we didn't tell you this, you might not have ever been told this.
Oh.
And outside the, you know, Ezekiel 17, that we would have been held accountable before God for that. The fact is, look at the other paradigm. That means you need to listen. You need to listen to what's being said. We're not, you know, although it's, you know, I really feel there's so much pressure today. There's so much tension that we, no matter what, you know, we need to enjoy our life on the way to where God is taking us in the context in God. I mean, there's really no life to be enjoyed outside of God, because, you know, we're speaking to the church, to the backslider. We're calling you back home. And we're also speaking to the one that the Lord is calling to him. Outside of that, we really don't have anything to say in regards to who are we to tell you how to live your life. Or, you know, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, understand that if you chose not to believe and you chose not to walk with God, that we're not talking to you. So you're living your life ever how you're living your life. But we are talking to the believer. We're talking to the one who professes to have Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. Secondly, to the one who's being drawn to God. You have not yet made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, but you feel him drawing. You feel like, you know, I just want to know more about Jesus. I just feel drawn. That's the Spirit of God. No man comes to the Lord unless he's drawn by the Spirit of God. And that's God drawing you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here for you. We're excited about this. And also we're here for the one who once walked with God and now no longer walks with God, who once walked in the light but now walks in darkness. And we're speaking to you. And primarily a lot of you guys, you're going to listen like this and understand that God will forgive the prodigal. God will cleanse you, forgive you, restore you. I mean, the whole world was a prodigal. And you might have a few scars. You might have a few, you know, remember wins in your life. But understand, mm-hmm. you'll be totally forgiven if you come back to God. So that's why we're here. And to me personally, knowing the world that we're living in, knowing that what I'm about to talk about, what's happening in the Middle East, and we're giving God's news behind the news perspective, why would you want to listen to anything else? I love music, but if all you do is listen to songs all day long, you're going to sing your way into the showers at the concentration camp. You know what I'm saying? You're going to sing your way into the trains, into the ghettos, the concentrated area to protect you, you know, the type of thing. JJ. And so we do have a balance. We need a balance of everything. And so you need to hear, and then you need to hear it, I believe, conversationally. You need to just hear it. It's just a natural, this is what Jesus did. Jesus just talked. You know, he said, look at these thorns over here. Look at these stones. Look at these rocks. You know, look at these children. Look at the water. And God's having a conversation with us, because first of all, that just opens us up to really connect and relate. Then he uses the things around us to be able to talk about the gospel. But then he gives us his perspective, the Father's perspective, God's perspective of what's going on. And then he expects us to walk in it. And that's what we really hope that we're doing for our listeners of VFN Radio. And so I really don't personally know. I mean, we're not someone that's going to speak against everything. So obviously, you know, you're not going to get that here. But we're intensely going to hopefully give you insight that God is speaking. God's voice. Listen, the day before the Secretary of State, John Kerry, got up and said what he said this last week, I guess. Was it last week? Yeah, last week. Mm-hmm. The day before, God told me this was going to happen and showed me and gave me a particular number which represented the very time that he was going to be doing it. The awesome thing is right now, it's slammed on brakes. Because they were planning on, he put his best case out at 1:06.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern time, and he was speaking on behalf of our president to fire these shots into Syria. And he wasn't doing that on his own, obviously. He was we're not going to get too deep into the spiritual DNA of what's really going on right at this moment, but it wasn't hours later till he was totally humiliated for taking the stand, and things were turned over to Congress, which is, by the way, if you don't know this or not, that's actually a right thing to do in a country called America, because it's the Congress who represents you. That's the ones that you said, I want you to go to Washington and I want you to see the operations and what's going on. I want you to remember us because you represent us, and I want you to integrate what we're telling you we need in our particular city or our region or whatever with them, and make our voices heard there. So when you see stuff happening, I want you to go look it out, check it out. Well, originally what they were saying was, we're just going to forego letting the people know what's going on. Just the executive branch is going to make this decision, and which is be the president and his crew and his cabinet, that they would just go ahead and make the decision and do it. That's one man. But we have a balance of equal powers. We have the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judiciary branch. And the legislative branch is Congress and Senate together. Those are your representatives. So when the president said, hey, I'm going to, for whatever reason, and I really think you should pray for our president. We're praying for wisdom. This is no matter what, this is a huge undertaking. This is a world thing going on right here. Everything's just amazing how big it is right now and how many, what's on the table. And I'm about to show you, and you'll be able to see this on the VFN Torch as well. But he says, I'm going to send it to Congress. Americans who know their Constitution should celebrate and thank the president for sending this huge decision to Congress, because that's you. That's your representatives who will be able to see all the evidence, hear what's going on, and to be able to make a clear decision before they send our sons and daughters into war.
Right.
That's good. That's a real good thing. That's not a negative thing. And if it takes a little bit longer for you to find out what's going on before you agree or disagree with invading another country here, you know, why is it America? What got us into this place that all of a sudden we're the only country on the face of the earth that's going to respond to part of this 100,000 that was killed by chemical weapons, right, seemingly and reportedly like it was strategically done? Why wouldn't it be someone else? So understand, I would actually celebrate. I would pray for your congressman and congresswoman and your senators, and I would communicate with them, you know, and ask them to communicate with you. I think since it means that you may go to war, your son or your daughter may go to war in this, because no war, it seldom starts off like, hey, we're going to go to war. It's one shot that leads to war. It is the Duke, Duke Ferdinand moment, right?
Yeah. Right.
And it's like dominoes begin to fall. And next thing you know, you're just sucked into the war. And
we're talking about bombing.
Bombing.
Missiles. Hello.
Well, and the thing about it is, we're not talking, they have the largest Syria, which basically is if Israel was a head, and it really is, and Syria was a hat, Syria is the hat on Israel. That's how it's there. It's like Damascus, they're talking about bombing, and Damascus is inside of Syria.
All right.
It's only like 90 miles to Haifa, which is inside of Israel. That's how short it is. So if you come a little bit closer to the borders there, we remember riding on the northern borders. That we were watching the fences, and you could see into Lebanon and Syria. And that's pretty close for us to fire anything with nuclear, with chemical weapons there. And this is what reportedly one of the citizens of Syria said, I'm not concerned. It's Israel, the ones putting on gas masks.
That's right.
And they are, because their widest point is like 70 miles. But the question is this, as we talked about, if you missed it, you got to catch it last Friday. And we're having prophetic conversations, helping you understand end time prophecy, helping you understand what God's word says about Israel and about us and this end time and what's happening. And it was pretty amazing, you know, what the Word of God says. And at the very end, we'll all be judged in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, called the Valley of Decision. about what we did with Israel, how we treated Israel, and how we treated the people. Israel is a people who is on a land, and a land that God's protecting. So you think about this. You think about, you know, all of us. It's kind of, you got to remember, as soon as something happens, everybody begins to kick into this mode. It always was. You remember when first started walking out the Malachi mandate, and I was sitting at a meeting with a few folks, and I said, here it is. You know, it's close. It's getting close. We're going to do this thing.
Right.
What's been going through your mind? You've been thinking about it. Right?
Right.
And one person, and I love honesty, and it's like, well, you know, I haven't really thought about it at all. And it was foreign to everyone. But then, once I began to, we began to unfold what God was saying, and God was confirming what he was doing, different committees and things were formed, were this great unity of like maybe 70 plus different leaders. We had all the way governor, local political leaders, military force, law enforcement, all across the board in regards to the church, business leaders all gathered together in unity. On this committee that we were all working together for the fatherless. And it was called the steering committee. And then people began to be upset. Some people got upset because, and they actually sent their wife to say they were upset. Remember that?
Yeah.
They sent their wife to say they were upset. That, and saw no shame in that.
All right.
I was like, well, Jezebel, just tell Ahab. Anyway, the that this is Naboth's property, not his. So, because he wanted to be on the steering committee, so he was acting as if it always was, as if we didn't want him to help us.
Hello.
You know, you know, I was like, we don't want help. Come on now. It's like benching weight. You know, like you're benching 300 pounds. You got this, that means, so you're sitting on your back, you lay on your back, you're pressing your arms up, and you have two these big discs on the side of this weight, and it's your arms holding this weight up, and somebody says, I can't believe you don't want me to help you.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, but that's just the enemy. So people just start acting like it always was. And that's a dangerous thing. What it means is this, is when you hear prophetic words and you hear God begin to warn you, the moment it happens, people kick into a different mode. You know, when you begin to speak what God's going to do, most men don't pay attention. And as soon as it begins to happen, for example, say it was a building as an example, and you're speaking into existence, all of a sudden men show up telling you what color it needs to be. And it's like, let's just celebrate the fact that God told us this was going to happen.
All right.
Your brother Ken used to say, you're trying to build the first floor and they're talking about the second floor. Right, it's just like, we're believing God right now for what God's done right here. And so you have to remember, when you look at history, there was a time right before it happened. And then, by the way, when you do this, it kind of gives you more empathy towards the people who are walking during that time, because it takes a while when something new hits to integrate it into your reasoning and the way that you're living your life. You can look back in history and judge the people who it happened in their presence, but you have to understand it wasn't happening in their life prior to it happening.
Right.
So they had to go from how things used to be to how they are, and they had a little bit of adjustment, but you were born into it already happening. So you're like the person that's sitting there, you know, maybe talking about some quote steering committee thing or the building. And it's easier for you because you're walking in the manifestation of other people's faith, what they had to believe God for. And by the way, and you can take it to the next level when you begin to believe God in your generation. And so with that, I think about, you know, a car accident, for example, that, you know, one moment, you know, you're going to the store, you're, you know, Pat, going to get a bag of chips or ice cream or something. And, or like Chris, going to the gym, quit flexing over there. And it was, you weren't planning it, you weren't thinking about it, but all of a sudden there's a car accident and you hit somebody's car or somebody's car hits yours, and it just, everything just stops, boom. And suddenly your life is different. You're going to need to, it doesn't matter what was on your calendar, what was on your plan. that, you know, there could be loss of life, there could be loss of mobility, there's definitely potentially, you know, car damage, if not loss of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it, all of a sudden, something you weren't dealing with becomes a reality in your life, and it just happens. Now, what would be cool is if you understood, hey, you can prevent accidents. And if somebody began to tell you, hey, this intersection up here at such and such street or this traffic light's not working, and pretty much so that those that have gone through it have been hurt. Mm-hmm. Or I was praying last night, or I was had a dream last night, or God just really spoke to me on biding time, and he said, watch out for this intersection. And that's prophecy. Mm-hmm. That's a warning. So you can either go through these things and not plan for it. You know, a prudent man sees danger and hears about the danger and hears the warning of God and prepares for it. And a foolish man keeps going through the intersection and suffers for mm-hmm. it. And what you call an accident, really, God was preparing you for it. But you have to understand, but once it happens, you got to be careful not to put it in that standard default box like it always was. And one example of this was President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Franklin Delano Roosevelt in World War II. Understanding the season, the moment. Really, you think about Issachar, they were actually known the moment and the time. They understood the seasons and the timings of God and what was going on. And as we speak at this one moment reported by Fox News that they are
testing missiles. Israel is tested some missiles mm-hmm. just this morning. It was picked up by Russia's detection system.
And so they did. I heard that, but they actually knew that it was Israel testing.
Well, Israel came out and said, yeah.
With a joint exercise with America?
Yep.
In the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Which is like a bay. Right. It's not a big. Right. Mediterranean is not that big of a thing.
So too ballistic.
So understand now, that news came out, was reported right this moment as I'm talking to you about what I'm talking to you about. So you need to pay attention while you hear it as history, so you don't hear. So you hear it as a prophetic word versus it's going to be history to you. Because once it happens, once it's happened, chaos, confusion, these kind of things kick in. You'll never get a chance, and people, you just think differently. It's real difficult to go back and say there was a time called BC. Mm-hmm. It was different. And so in 1940, with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, there was a time when America, well, you know, President Woodrow Wilson reportedly won the election. I believe it was from Franklin Delano Roosevelt, give me a moment on who he was running against. And he just barely won it, but he won it, and he's the man that started the Bull Party and all that, the Bull Moose Party. Mm-hmm. But he won it because he said, I'm not going to go to war.
Right.
But he's the president. He's the first president that took us into world war. And it's like, you know, our faith is in God. Our faith's not in man. You can't, even if a man, and I remember that it's reportedly said that when some people were visiting the White House with President George W. Bush, and they said, are you concerned about the next president and what the next president will do? And he says, no. When he gets behind that desk and he's pointing to the desk at the Oval Office, which is that runs the nation here, right. He'll find out he has very little options. He'll end up doing things the very same way that the others have, because it's a world. It's not like it's not like a business that you start and you're going to run your business. I mean, the world, these things are happening and they dictate behaviors. And it's amazing how much similarity this current president, President Obama, is walking in the same direction. Now, here we are with weapons of mass destruction. And we're saying we want to get in here, which, by the way, I just want to say up front, and I love the fact, even if their compassion is misplaced and it's being used, I think it's wonderful for everybody to have compassion for these people who have suffered such great loss with these chemical weapons that people are compassionate. They want to do something about it. But just walking, you know, showing up and punching somebody in the chest who has the greatest stockpile of chemical weapons in the world and then just saying you're going to leave, it's like you're going to store up a hornet's nest here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, as I was saying earlier, that it was Theodore Roosevelt I know it was Roosevelt, but it was Theodore Roosevelt and William. Theodore Roosevelt was running against Woodrow Wilson. And in that, so here you had FDR now, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in October 1940. He said he's not going to, he was going in with the deal, and he was, he was cranking out money. I'm pretty much, when President Obama went in, it was reported by the news, I believe Fox News and CNN and all, he handed out the book, The New Deal, to all of his cabinet. And he's pretty much walking out the concept, because you had the Great Depression, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt had to bring everybody out of that. And I think maybe he just applied some of the same principles or whatever, but that was a book they were reading. But it's very interesting. Okay, here we are. Let's think about the other part of FDR. He rode the train of Lincoln, coming in from Illinois, and Lincoln went to war. He didn't go to war, but he had to go to war.
Yeah. Right.
And it turned out really well, but it was Civil War. Woodrow Wilson went in saying there's no war, and all of a sudden the very first World War took place, and it happened, as we talked about last Friday, which you can actually hear on the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, and click on the torch, is that it started with the Archduke Ferdinand moment, and this is a million. I think the biggest thing that the folks who are controlled by evil, they're so surprised about, is the ability of today's people to not respond. And I really believe it's mostly because that they're lethargic and asleep.
Right.
I don't think it's because they're not saying, no, stay calm. They're just uninformed and asleep.
Right.
Because if they were awake, they would be screaming. And so all of a sudden, something is not, and then it is. Well, here it was, all of a sudden, long story short, I'm not going to talk about the politics of it, because he didn't force this on anybody, because he actually put it up as the end of his presidency that gave everybody a chance not to vote for him the next time around. I mean, he did a lot of political maneuvering or whatever, whatever about politics. But there was a moment where there was no draft. Why would there need to be a need for draft? Because because I'm not going to go. I'm not a president that's going to take people to war. But understand, the draft happened right before it wasn't happening. We went to war right before someone said, "I'm never going to go to war."
Huh.
Is that making sense? I'm trying to talk about. So we look back at history and act like it always was. So all of a sudden, in September of 1940, the U.S. Congress passed, and President Roosevelt signed into law and resumed a compulsory, where you had to compulse people to sign up for military service. It's called the Selective Service. And during the next 6 weeks, men were required to register in Selective Service. And they would receive a draft notice from the government saying that you're going to war. And they did it off of a lottery. So not only were you told that you're not going to ever go to war by this leader, secondly, you were told that it's a voluntary army. But then it became compulsory, where you're going to have to. And then they're just going to assign you a number. You have to register. And then they're going to, like a lottery, and look at all the people play lottery today. Imagine your number coming up and you're the winner.
Oh, wow.
And so on October 29th, 1940, Franklin Roosevelt in his cabinet office, had a crowd gathered around him, and they began to do the very first lottery. And that's what you're about to. I'm going to let you hear, and you'll be able to see this. You'll see a video of this. This is a man who said that I'm not going to go to war. And not only are we going to war now, but he's saying, you have to register, and we're going to draft you. Draft means this. Oh, by the way, Bob, and now, by the way, now Susan, because now you put yourself in the equation.
Right.
You're going to be in Syria next week
with
a gas mask on, fighting, that kind of thing.
That's right.
That kind of stuff. And so this is the very first number being drawn with the lottery system. And you'll hear it's the first number being drawn is 158. And that represented several people that had that number, the draft notice. But you'll hear this woman scream out in the background. You know why? Because her son had the number 158.
Oh, wow.
Listen up. This is President
in September 19.
This is President Franklin Delano Roosevelt doing what he said he would never do: go to war. Secondly, now he's forcing at that time sons. By the way, now it's sons and daughters, right? Everybody's wanting to be on the front lines,
mm-hmm.
and now they actually have a lottery going on. And this is that. Listen up. This is the president in 1940.
In September 1940, the Selective Service Act was passed, and for the first time in history, American boys were being drafted.
And what they're doing is they're actually showing everybody, stir these numbers up the way you would stir up numbers right there. Right. And in the White House, the very White House you see on C-SPAN, they're stirring, will your son's life be taken? Will your daughter's life be taken? That's what they're doing.
Mm. Wow.
Drafted during peacetime.
You have the confidence and the gratitude and the love of your countrymen. We are all with you in the task which enlists the services of all Americans, the task of keeping the peace in this new world of ours.
President Roosevelt announced draft order number one, the first peacetime draft number ever to be drawn.
Drawn by the Secretary of War, is serial number 158.
You hear that scream? That was a mother whose son had 158. We have to wake up.
Wow.
There was a day this wasn't happening, and then there's a day it was happening. And what I'm going to talk to you about in the extra hour, I'm going to show you the Middle East. I'm going to show you what's happening over there with the Arab League. And why in the world, after us stirring up the Muslim Brotherhood, this Arab Spring over there, and now we're going to go get in the middle of this, just on top of this little small country called Israel, to fire a shot. She's surrounded. Israel is surrounded by enemies on every side. And now, with the urgency, for some reason, of our current executive branch, they wanted to surround Israel on her western border, on the Mediterranean. Now we're firing missiles, reportedly today, according to Fox News. You just heard FDR, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, back a law and sign a law that said people had to register for selective service, because Congress is going to begin drafting, telling people you're going to have to go be a soldier and fight this war. We're going to send you around the world and you're going to fight in World War II. And you got to hear it, because you hear him draw the first number and you hear the numbers 158. Remember that, 158. And as it's drawn, this mother in the crowd screams out, because her, along with several other sons in the nation, and I believe it was 11 million people got sent and forced to go. And the thing about it is, you know, so many people today try to play lotteries to win money. But this is one lottery you're not going to want to win. But they created a law called Selective Service. It was compulsory that you had to register. Well, listen, and we're talking about God's news behind the news here, you know, as we're in the Middle East, and I'm going to talk more about that, is everybody's already registered for Selective Service today, so there's not going to be any gap for that. They can just bring that thing back in and say, we're going to begin to draft. And this country is not used to being told to do anything. So I can imagine what's going to happen in the context of being said, you're going to have to go now to the Middle East to fight. And I'm saying that because this is what you're hearing over and over again. You know, well, the Arab League says about Syria. And we just, you know, it's that default thing that I talked about in the first hour. Was we just act like it was always was. And so we don't question, who is the Arab League and why do we care what the Arab League is saying? And if we do care what they're saying, then who are they and what do they represent? And if there is an Arab League of Nations, why is the United States getting in their business? Can't they handle that themselves? Why would we need to go to Syria? And you think about it, there's 22 states reportedly, according to Wikipedia here, that are in the Arab League. And it's a League of Nations. When you think about the United Nations, this is an Arab League of Nations. These are Muslim countries, people who live by the Quran.
All right.
You think about Qatar, Palestine, Jordan, Bahrain?
Bahrain.
Mm-hmm. Bahrain, Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, Lebanon, which is right beside Syria. You have Libya, Saudi Arabia, which is right south of. They're the ones taking in the refugees from Syria. Mm-hmm. So they're part of the Arab League. Oman, Syria, but they've actually been suspended since 2010, I believe, because of what they're doing right now. Tunisia, Iraq, another one, Egypt, Algeria, Sudan, Morocco, Yemen, and there's three other ones. And this is how it goes. This is the Arab League, is that if you vote for it, you stand by it. But if you didn't vote for it, you don't have to stand by it. So it's kind of that. But the big thing is these are the countries that surround a little small country. And I want you guys to see this. And you can see this on the VFN Torch. Look at this. This is the Arab League. You see this little small dot right here?
Wow.
That is Israel. That's Israel right here.
Wow.
And we are way over here in the West, coming over here in the Mediterranean, on the only side of Israel that's not surrounded. And we're going to say that it's our responsibility to fire shots into Syria right here, because out of 100,000 people killed maliciously by their government, that 1,000 is reportedly killed by chemical weapons, the largest stockpile of chemical weapons, weapons of mass destruction, is... Now look at the Arab League. The Arab League goes from Morocco and Libya and Egypt and all these.
It's even, the whole northern part of Africa.
Yeah, exactly. Sudan and all these different areas. I mean, it's like, why do we need to go over there?
Right, exactly.
Let me tell you something. This is what I believe. I believe it's because we have integrated ourselves with the Muslim Brotherhood. That we have bought into the Arab League's concept of world government, and that's just normal for us. That's what's being thought like, and we're operating like that, and so we're just basically partnering with the Arab League, the League of Nations, and we're doing their work. We're just basically, it's like we're like Barney Fife now. We have one bullet. And all these guys have all these bullets in their guns. All this oil money sitting over there. And we're going to show up with our one bullet after taking our country down and our trillions of dollars in debt. And it's like our last hoopla in the world would be a shot fired at the hat of Israel into Damascus. Let me tell you Damascus. You read about it in the book of Acts. That's where Saul was on his journey to go to Damascus to be able to persecute the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still happening today, isn't that something?
Wow.
But as he was going to Damascus, what happened was God showed up. Jesus showed up. And this big, bright presence of the Lord showed up. It was so bright, it knocked him off of his horses and his donkeys and on there, hitting the ground. And he heard the Lord say this to him, this man who was going to persecute the church. He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Get up. I'm going to show you some things that you must suffer for me." And he told him where to go. And Saul said, "Lord, Lord, what do you want from me?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, here we are today. It's all about Damascus. It's the persecution of the Kurds. The Kurds are probably the oldest part of the church in the world right now. We're watching them persecuted. It's reported by CBN News that America will not even issue the Christians visas to be able to come in our country.
Wow.
Because they need to escape because they're being persecuted. And so some of the Kurds in America are saying, we would come, you're right, but America won't let us come. This is like we're repeating history rapidly here. This is like a ship full of Jews passing by needing a place for their poor. And we're turning them away instead of saying this whole demonic thing going on in the spiritual realm is against the Jews and Jesus, the Jews and the church. JJ, we talk about that quite often.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and you can see this on the VFN Torch. You need to go to the VFN Torch and see this. But are y'all seeing that? You're seeing with this little dot speck. Right here, speck. That's Israel. That is Israel. We are parking our ships right out here, about to fire shots right here, when all the folks in Israel are wearing gas masks. And this is how big And they keep on saying the Arab League, the Arab League, the Arab League. It's like, we should say, take it, Arab League. Go for it.
Right.
Yeah, whatever you're going to do to Syria. But you don't tell you why they're not doing that? This is what I believe. I don't know this. I'm just telling you what I know prophetically and what God is showing us in the Word of God. Because it has nothing to do with Syria.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's being professed against Israel. This is what is said in the Quran. That until they're pushed into the sea, until a rock says there's a Jew hiding behind me, come and take him out, that they will not be satisfied. This is it.
Mm.
You're not going to satisfy, which means that it's the anti-Jew, it's the anti-Semitic, right, anti-Jew, and it's the anti-Christian, anti-Christ, anti-Christian, right, anti-Christ spirit coming against the Kurds and the Jews, coming against the... And we're swinging over there like we're going to fire a few missiles into Syria, which is 90 miles, Damascus, which is 90 miles outside of Haifa.
Hmm.
And I wanted you to get a picture of the balance. You're going to be able to see this map. And when you see the green, it's green, right? And what color is Israel there?
Gray.
Gray. Gray. Gray. When you see the green, that is the Arab League.
Hmm.
That is the League of Nations. 21 nations. One of those is Syria. They're suspended right now. And they're talking about, well, the Arab League supports us. The Arab League supports us going in and shooting into Syria. The Arab League supports us going in and firing a few shots into Israel. The Arab League is like, we should be saying we support the Arab League and going in and firing a few shots
Not the other way around.
Not the other way around. It's like we're walking into something so major that, you know, God was speaking to me about what Senator Kerry was going to do the day before he did it. Did he not?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Now, we're going to make that picture available to you on the VFN torch so you can see. We took a snapshot when he was on C-SPAN Live at 106. At 106 Eastern Time when he delivered that live message saying in everything that they could do, they wanted to go fire them shots.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is he had like 2% support from America and they knew that it would be a huge downfall. And they turned it over to the right way, which is Congress. But now the pressure's on because we're not fighting against flesh and blood here. This is a spiritual battle. And if you're in darkness, you'll buy into this.
Mm-hmm.
You'll buy into it. And it's a trap. It's sort of like, you know, imagine if the enemy can't get to you, then they say they hold a loved one hostage.
Mm.
They take a little child, or they hurt a little child. They do things that causes people who have a desire to help people walk right into a trap. You know, the natural tendency. But the thing is that if we walk in, the only thing that makes sense to me would be just to go in to secure this nuclear, or this chemical weapons, weapons of mass destruction. And if we can't do that, we're just going to cause more, we're going to cause a lot more people to be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's that bold to use chemical weapons, I mean, just the logical sense would say, wouldn't he just let them go? Or would he just take out all of his enemies by it?
His own people.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I was listening to Congress walk out of their briefing after President Obama gave it to them, listening on C-SPAN and listening to their interview, what they thought after seeing the evidence. And their reasoning was, well, because the gas was loosed off in their own quarters and their own people suffered, then to me, that means it had to be King Assad who did it. And it's like, that's it? That's your evidence?
That's
the evidence? Have you not seen that is how things operate over there with these radicals? That they always, they'll hide behind their own women and children. And they'll even in their own mosques, they've been reported to go into that. And it's like, you know, I'm just saying, Israel now is surrounded on every side, including the Mediterranean side. And that's America surrounding Israel. When you see this picture of the Arab League, that we should be supporting them against the people being hurt in Syria, it shouldn't be them supporting us, who are on the other hemisphere of the globe. And it's just not going to be good. And so I just wanted to tell you today, when you hear about the Arab League, understand that is a significant body of nations. That's 21 different nations. And you can find out more about it on the VFN Torch. And you should be saying to your local representative, who's going to draw your son's number or your daughter's number and send them to this region to fight a war that we shouldn't be in, period. Mm-hmm. If we go to war, I mean, how many people are going to sign up today, as crazy as it is? And it's a world war. So the difference in having these little small wars here and there is like, okay, we can handle volunteer force. But when the world goes to war, it requires not only every human body that can get on the front lines to fight, but it causes those at home to begin to give up rubber and metal and sugar and different things like that. Everything supports that huge force going on. So car plants quit making cars. They start making planes. And, you know, people quit eating sugar because they send it to the troops. And we quit using rubber for anything we want to. We start sending it out to be able to make equipment and bombs. And you got to understand, that's world war. And all of a sudden, we just become a war-supporting nation, supporting our troops who are on the front line as people come back and knock on our doors and tell us, as they're in their dress blues with three people standing respectfully before you to look at you and say, we're sorry to report, as they read a report coming from the president or the secretary of defense, that your son and now your daughter has died in defense of our country. See, we can prevent that day. We don't need to act like it always was. It has not yet happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. Remember, we talked about that in the first hour. It hasn't happened yet. But you have to pay attention. Are you going to drive through this intersection, or are you going to listen to the warning? Are you going to just keep going and suffer for it and be shocked? Or is it going to let it happen and just act like it always was and start living your life based off the new paradigm? This is the new deal. This is a new reality, a new normal, if you would. Or you're going to say, dear God, I see it. We can pray. He says, listen, when these things happen, he says, we can turn to him and we can repent. We can say, dear God, I've sinned. I've fallen short. Isn't it worth not losing millions? And you can go back and listen on Friday. What was it? Find out the name of go to the VFN Torch or on your app and listen to that prophetic segment. It's called Prophecy.
Prophecy. America's guns are pointed towards Damascus, Syria, while America's hearts are turned away from God.
Yes. And listen in the context of this and understand, I'll tell you in it, you know, what God says we need to do. And it's not for us to be, the answer is not political. The answer is not all these other things. The answer is for us, the church, those who call themselves God's people, to humble ourselves before him. And to realize that if the world has went to war reluctantly once with a president who felt like it was going to stop his big government plans, Woodrow Wilson, but he went ahead and did it because our customer base, people that were buying our products around the world, is how the government was supported at that time. And it stopped his big government plan because he felt like government was the answer to everybody's problems.
Mm-hmm.
So he reluctantly went into World War One. So that the war would stop, knock it off, so you can start buying our products again that we make in America, and then we can fund this big government. And I don't care what side your viewpoint on big, small government, that was the reason reported in history that was going on. And that was the tax base. The tax base was the import tax, people that would, you know, buy our products and the tariffs and all. That's how money was made then. And so you had a president, Woodrow Wilson, who had to convince everybody now of something that he didn't want to do. So he went on an educational tour, and he sent speakers out to all the different cities to begin to just talk to them. They were paid PR people who began to present the idea of war again, present the idea of what's going on, to basically, you know, I'm taking this thing to the people. And it's like, great, when you finish that, take it back to Congress, our representative, because we sent them there to make sure that everything's done legally according to the Constitution, right?
Right.
And vice versa. But today, we have more technology since, 1912, I think, is that now you can just go on TV and begin to educate the country and bring PR up and convince people this is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then quickly, we just jump right into the Archduke Ferdinand moment. We just go right into a rapid World War III. And then you look at all these folks who have been preparing behind the scenes to be able to take, to escalate this thing in the midst of chaos so they can restructure it. I mean, you have to, yeah, if you have flour, you have buttermilk, you have different components to a mixture, and you're going to make something, you know, these are opposite things, but how can you, what you're going to, you're going to have to agitate all that stuff and mix it together. And it's going to look like, it's like, what are you doing? If you really think about it, if you don't know the end product is a biscuit or a pancake or a loaf of bread, it just seems chaotic and confused. But once you can begin to form that thing in chaos, but they're going to have to collide. All these ingredients are going to have to collide, and they're going to have to be pressed together and reshaped. And war always reshapes. War restructures governments. War is what birthed America. War begins to, that's when boundaries change. That's when borders change. That's when nations change. That's when kings fall. That's when constitutions change. And we got the oldest, longest living history of a constitution in the history of the world, which means if it was to go down today, it'd still be the longest, but it wouldn't be abnormal. The only abnormal thing is how long it lasted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we believe that our rights come from God. God has allowed the blessing to be on this land. That's the reason why. And war reshapes the world, and those behind it, that's, they have to get the ingredients together, and they have to begin to just whatever chaos and confusion. And as it's so chaotic and people can't think straight, they're just looking for reprieve and relief. And I just really sense people are just so tired, and this is what the enemy wants to do, is wear you out.
Mm-hmm.
Wear you out, and you say whatever, and that's when you get molded into a biscuit. That's when you get molded in, and all of a sudden, the way human nature is, the default setting is, well, we always were biscuits. We always were pancakes. We always were this. And the truth is, no, you weren't before you were. And you could have repented. You could have stopped it. We can turn to God right now. We can begin to pray and seek his face and get rid of our sin and to say, dear God, hear us. We're going to humble ourselves and believe God for a third great awakening. You have to understand, we are 7 days away from the anniversary of 9/11. What does that mean? Well, it means we're going to be 12 months away from Benghazi. What happened in Benghazi? Let me tell you what happened in Benghazi. Reportedly, according to CBN, reportedly, according to The Blaze and other aspects of reporting the news, and I think even CNN, but I'm not sure now, that there was some sort of guns being transported through Benghazi up to Turkey. Mm-hmm. That were supporting the Syrian situation that was going on up there. You remember the flotillas coming down from Turkey, and they were trying to come in and push their way into Israel, and Israel was stopping them out there, and they dropped one of the Israeli soldiers on their head, and mm-hmm. you know, all this terrible stuff that went down. This is, got to remember what happened, and we still don't know how it happened yet in Benghazi, but we know that when Benghazi happened, Benghazi is where. And you can hear more about it on the VFN Torch. You can go back and see. We've been talking about this. We're talking about, what's God's perspective? What is a biblical worldview? What is happening in the context of what God says in his prophetic word, the Bible? And our ambassador was murdered and killed. Great soldiers who were willing to go on the front line and protect our ambassadors and protect our
our interests.
Yeah, our interests and
our embassy.
Our embassy there. And they were ransacked. They were blown up.
Hmm.
And reportedly just, it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
We were watching this go down, according to what I saw on C-SPAN when I was watching some of the interviews, who kind of was so blurry, it was kind of hard to figure out what was going on. Mm-hmm. But there was a satellite or whatever watching this thing go down. We had people close by. We didn't come. It just seemed like, my goodness,
we left them out there.
We left them out. It seemed that way. We left them out there. And it's like, our response to that was, the anniversary of 9/11 was coming up. We thinned out our embassies around the world.
Yeah.
We thinned them out. And so they were there with a skeleton crew, as it was. 9/11's coming. We thin them out, and then supposedly, reportedly, according to these sources I talked about, that they were talking about they were transporting weapons to Syria through Turkey, who we gave the Iron Curtain to, which was the head of the Ottoman Empire. We talked more about that, you know, like I told you earlier, you can listen to it. And we're building up the Arab League. We are promoting the Arab League and the Muslim Brotherhood, who we partnered with in our own country, who we brought in on our homeland security. And there's no logical argument here. This is the whole thing is, if we don't repent, God's turning us over.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's period. And we're well aware that it could be too late. Because if God knows that the church won't repent, maybe. Or, I don't even want to hear it. God can get to a point where I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he gave us so much mercy. And then we'll go through a period of some odd years of bondage as whatever's happening. And if you'll look at leadership, when God changes leadership, he really doesn't have much to say about the ones that are under the leadership. It's just like, pause for a moment. We're going to shift the heads here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to go from Josiah to Jehoiakim to Zedekiah. And it's like, what happened to the people? Oh, they're just being overtaxed and losing their things and going into Babylonian captivity, you know, et cetera.
Right.
And so we're 7 days away from the anniversary of 9/11.
Wow.
And you talk to folks. I mean, we're hearing the voice of God. And you deliver to them exactly what they're going to experience in the next moment, the next hour, the next day. You know, it's confirmed by the reality it happened. And they're unfazed. I mean, you hear folks like this, they go, yeah, they start talking about church stuff. And it's like, this is church. This is church. This is the church. Oh my goodness. The religious spirit of the land is like crazy. Do you have time for the voice of the Lord? If he's telling us what we need to do, don't you want to find out what it is and do that first before you start being religious?
Right.
Religion is crazy. And now, even though this thing has gone to Congress, it's being reported now that the president's saying, but I want an instant decision within a week. Within a week.
Wow.
So we're 7 days out. Okay, what's the picture? Let me paint the biblical worldview right here. You have this huge, I mean, you're going to have to see it on the VFN torch, and hopefully if you can see it, and if not, you can see it later on, you can go back and look at it, but you just got to hear John and Pat. Is the Arab League big or what?
Huge.
Think it's about huge. This. So give me some compare. So if you're on a football field, which is 300 yards, right?
100 yards.
I mean, 100 yards, 300 feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
300 feet, 100 yards. And this whole thing is on the football field. What portion of that field is the Arab League and what portion of it's Israel?
You're on like the 1-inch line.
Not even the 1-yard line.
No.
Yeah.
So the entire football field is the Arab League.
Mm.
And 1-inch, which pretty much, if you're on the 1-inch goal line, and you're pointing towards your goal and you're 1 inch away, everybody pretty much knows you're about to score.
Yeah.
Right?
You can be gracious and even give it a yard.
You think it's a yard? Really?
No.
I'm serious. I mean, if you do, I want to hear it. If you think that's a yard.
I'm just saying, I mean.
No, but you got it. But look at that. You call that a yard? But look down there at Eastern Africa. Look all the way over to Morocco. You look at Libya and Egypt and all the Sudan. You look at all the Middle Easterns.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at that one little 70 mile wide, 90 mile wide.
My point was that if you just gave it a yard, it's still. I mean, if you went beyond.
But isn't it important to say it's exaggerating that, at that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, what do you think? I think so. I wouldn't give it an inch.
I wouldn't, because that's how big it is. That's where we are right now. That's what I'm saying. And so you have this big football team, this analogy, called the Arab League. The Muslim Brotherhood is calling the plays. Our current administration is supporting the concept, and they're on the 1-inch line facing towards their goal, which is destroy Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that.
It's huge.
It's huge, which is the, you know, the biblical perspective says God said this day would happen, and he's going to defend Israel. Don't worry about it. I mean, Israel will be taken care of. Believe it or not, they're not going to score. Mm-hmm. But God's going to judge every one of us of whether we played a play against them mm-hmm. in the concept and that analogy. And we're joining them. This is and you understand, not only radical Islam, but Islam believes that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God.
Right.
That's anti-Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that everybody should be, well, the Quran says, not what they believe, because you have people that call themselves Christians that don't believe what the Word of God says. So you can't say everybody calls themselves a Muslim believes everything in the Quran. But the Quran says three things. If you're not yet a Muslim, you convert, or you enter into servitude and pay a tax, or thirdly, off with your head, right?
Mm. Right.
And we're partnering with these folks. We're not letting the Kurds, the church, come into America, reportedly. We're not giving them visas to come in. So it looks like JJ. It looks like Jesus and the Jews. It looks like the church. And this is all-out right attack. But see, there was a day before the Jews were marching down the street in Germany that they were running the banks, that they were living the life, normal life. They had nice homes and nice places. And then all of a sudden, one day, they weren't paying attention. They're marching down the streets in mink coats and their life and their, you know, they moved out of their homes and they're marching out and the society's throwing manure at them as they march off to the ghetto where they said, we're going to keep you safe here. We're going to keep you. We're going to concentrate your people here to keep you safe. And they had like 10 families in one room. And that was only migratory because they had another plan where they're going to take them to concentration camps. What were they trying to do? They were trying to extinguish the second heaven. Satan was trying to use these folks under Hitler to extinguish the Jews. He was trying to kill off all the Jews.
Right.
And obviously, true Christians that are walking and confronting darkness, you know, according to some of the ones that stood up who ended up dying in the concentration camps. Where they went into the churches of all the thing and got rid of the Bibles and burned them and made his own Bible. Remember the name of his Bible?
Mm-mm.
Had the broken cross.
Evil.
Yeah, but he wrote his own Bible where he was the Savior in it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you heard it, you go,
that's crazy.
It's normal. We got so much stuff passing through us. And this is not going to end well for the church. Israel will stand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if we do not stand up for Israel now, and we support Israel.
That's right.
But if we don't stand up and pray for the peace of Israel, it's not them that's being protected in our prayers. It's us being protected because we prayed for them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not them not getting judged at Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Decision. It's us being judged on the right side of the equation in Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And so it's our measure. It's us. It's God's time clock. It's the apple of God's eye. It's the scales of God's justice. Will we stand up for God's people? And now our ships are heading that way. I encourage you to call your congressmen and your senators and say, listen, now you're getting a biblical worldview. Let the Arab League handle that. You know, we're hearing reported over from our leaders that the Arab League supports us going in and firing a few shots in there, which logically, you know, this doesn't make sense to me. This is going to upset them and cause them to release more damage on their people. But why not support this huge, and the analogy was a football field. Imagine they take up, this is how big they are compared to Israel. Every square inch of that football field except for an inch. Mm. Think about it, except for an inch.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could handle Syria. Well, what's going on? That's where we send all of our money to for our oil, by the way. I mean, right. You know, and it's just a trap.
Mm.
It is a trap. And so I just want to encourage you, as you heard right at the end of the first hour, before there was a draft, before there was a selective service, there wasn't one. There wasn't one. And the greatest loss of life that ever happened on the face of the earth happened during World War I and World War II. What in the world do you think is going to happen now if World War III kicks in?
Mm.
What do you think is going to happen? Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, the biblical worldview, that one-third of the world's population dies.
Mm-hmm.
You think, well, how could that happen? With today's technology, somebody could sit in the back room and fly a nuclear drone over your nation.
Easily.
It's easy.
You know, thank God that Hitler didn't have this advanced technology now. They had to have somebody sit down there and put a number on your clothes, had to write the number down on a paper ledger with a pencil. And now they can actually, you know, barcode you or put a chip in you and track you with satellites. You know, everything's totally there for a demonic beast economy. But if you read the whole book, you understand that's the direction of the world. You don't ever think it's going to happen in your lifetime, but that's the whole concept, is that it wasn't before it was. And this is what Proverbs says. A prudent man sees danger and prepares for it, but a fool keeps going and suffers for it. God does nothing unless he tells his people first, his prophets first, so they can begin to tell us what's going on. Why? To warn us, which means we can turn, take the warning, turn, and turn back to him. Realize the world suffers so much violence. It's because that it will come into the subjectivity of God when the church comes into the subjectivity of God. When we submit ourselves to God, the earth submits itself to God. When we walk in rebellion to God, the land begins to revolt against its normal way of doing things. Plagues and famine and locusts and economy crashing and all that. It just doesn't work like it used to work. And then he says, but if you turn from your wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive your sin, and heal your land. Then what happens when we turn, then the land no longer burns. We hold the key. We can scream at darkness all we want. We can blame darkness all we want. We can try to change the darkness through political correctness. We can try to do whatever. But the truth is, and we'll find out more about this in the future, we'll talk about it, is that you're the light of the world. You're supposed to go out and let your light shine and live a godly life before man so they know that through God, this has been done. But I just wanted you to know, give you kind of a little perspective here. As we talked about with the football field analogy, only 1 inch of the field would be, if that much, would be Israel. And the rest of it would be the Arab League. We just keep saying, you keep hearing the reports on the news that, hey, the Arab League's behind us. You know, and I'm like, I got to find out who this Arab League is. I mean, my goodness, who is this? And it's like, wow, that's a large group. But, you know, they're kind of divided amongst themselves in regards to, you know, if you vote for it, you got to stand for it. But if you don't vote for it, you're not held accountable. You know, it's crazy. But that's, it's like, hey, they could defend, they can go in there because Syria is part of the Arab League. So even though they removed him out and suspended him, reportedly, according to Wikipedia, when you read about the Arab League because of what he's doing right now, at least they have a relationship with him. And they can go in there and take these chemical weapons out. We should be at the least supporting them. And the Arab League should be saying, well, America backs us in helping the Syrian people out. But it's like they want to pull us into this thing. Well, let me give you one more comparison and understand the biblical perspective, biblical worldview. Understanding God tells us what's going to happen. He tells us what will happen if we do this, and he tells us what happened if we'll do that. He says, if you do this, you'll be blessed, and you do this, you'll be cursed. If you pray for the peace of Israel and support Israel and stand with Israel, then God will stand with you. If you do the opposite of that, he ain't going to stand with you, and you're going to suffer for it. And here we are right now in Israel. The capital of Israel is Jerusalem. Read about Jerusalem. The very last chapter of your Bible talks about it in the book of Revelation, about not only Jerusalem, but it talks about Jerusalem will be the place where Jesus will come and rule. And the new Jerusalem will come down out of heaven, and his light is so bright that the whole earth, the new heaven, the new earth, will be lit no longer by the sun, but it'll be lit by the Messiah. That's how bright he is. Our light will come from Jerusalem. Isn't that beautiful? We'll talk more about that in the future, but we're talking prophetically here. So obviously Satan wants Jerusalem. I mean, he realizes that is a battle zone. It's interesting when you look how the size of all this and the Arab League, and his Arab League means Muslim nations who operate on, you know, strict, moderate, or whatever, but the Quran and Islam, and which says that Muhammad is a prophet from God, the prophet from God, and that in Mecca, that this hole in the ground they march around in Mecca, that the 12th Iman is going to come, come out of it, and then he's going to put a mark on everybody, letting them know, hey, you're with me. And they're going to make war against God's people. And it's like, that's actually the antithesis of, that's the Antichrist. And they see it as a positive thing.
Right.
They see it as a positive thing. You can actually see that on the VFN torch, that the comparison between Christianity and Islam. And it's very important to get a perspective of that, because it looks like part of the end times happenings is taking place. Well, here we are. Israel is surrounded on every side. Now, if you are a believer in Islam, then Islam, if you believe the scriptures and you operate that, hey, this is God for me,
right? Mm-hmm.
Then Israel, they see Israel as infidels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that they only be satisfied if they push them in the sea and destroy them. It's interesting, you know. It's like they want to kill Israel, they want to kill the Jew, and the reason why, obviously, is because they're God's chosen people, and that Satan's going, mm-hmm. you know. Anyway. And so you think, well, what's the big deal? What is the big deal with our ships going in the Mediterranean? Because we always have med cruises. If you're in the Navy, you know, you have the 6-month med cruise that you had to do. But all of our ships are pointed at this, close to this 1 inch of this football field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could be pointed anywhere. But now our missiles are pointed at Syria, just north of there. I'm at the Nimitz carriers, which are like cities on water, these battleships and all that. They're on standby now, and they're pointing at people that don't love Israel, that don't want Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel, who would rather, according to the Quran, you know, just, you know, what are you doing in our land? They say, you just need to go somewhere else at the least.
Mm.
Being led by a commander-in-chief who was head of a party in America, who in North Carolina about a year ago booed God in the context of a pastor stood up and he said, I want to be able to put back into, because they took Jerusalem out of their
platform.
Their platform as the capital, and he's going like, hey, we've always stood with Israel. The president supports Israel, Jerusalem as the capital, and we need to put it back in again.
Mm-hmm.
And they vote. First of all, they booed the whole concept. Secondly, if you really went authentically according to the Robert's Rules of Order, they said no, because they said nay.
Right.
More said nay.
More than those that said yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why,
by far,
they booed was, hey, man, we said we didn't want that to happen. So, and while this was going on, now you have to understand, while this was going on, if you look behind the ones that are doing it, you have a huge picture of a military fleet,
mm-hmm.
of ships. You have a carrier and destroyers and all this kind of stuff. And of course, our assumption always is,
yeah,
since that's an American leader, that's the American Navy. But guess what that was? That was the Russian Navy. We're talking 30 feet. I don't know how, but you imagine 30 feet high.
Jumbotron.
It's like 50 jumbotrons. It was like so big. And these ships were huge.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the Russian Navy behind. We're booing God. Russia, who stands with Syria, who stands with Iran, who immediately brought their ships around into the Mediterranean as soon as this disturbance started in Syria, who also is on the United Nations and the Security Council, who now has Snowden under their hand, who just happens today or yesterday released this new stuff to embarrass the nation even more. The president's en route to Russia for the summit about to take place over in Russia as we speak, probably next day or so, whatever. And all this has taken place, and reportedly the missiles that were going to be fired in Damascus were going to be fired at the base that Russia had built in Syria, which is a Syrian base, but obviously.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, that would have been a statement to Putin, or to Vladimir Putin, that prior to him going to this meeting, because, you know, he threw his hand up in our president's face when he took Snowden in and didn't release Snowden back to us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like seems like when you think about it, they're wanting this thing done before he goes over there to Russia. He's wanting to destroy a Russian base before we go over there. You see what I'm saying? It's like, what's going on here? We need to stay out of all of this. You know, and I'm not into politics and what's going on, but in a biblical war view of all this is we're getting pulled in and sucked into something that may be the ultimate downfall. And this is what the Lord has shown me. I talked about it on, and remember, they booed Jerusalem. So we have the Russian fleet is out in the Mediterranean, based on my understanding, because they came earlier on. Now the American fleet is in the same Mediterranean, pointing at just north of Jerusalem, to a little small town called Damascus, 90 miles north of Haifa, Israel. And it's like, and they booed the whole concept of it with a Arab League that, if they're loyal to the Quran and to Muhammad, is you need to do away with Israel. Mm. And we're partnering with them. We're empowering the Muslim Brotherhood. We didn't help Iran when the Green Party writes a letter asking for help when we helped everybody else. Now, Iran is the one that's pushing and supporting, reportedly, what's happening with Hamas or the rebel forces, they're calling them, and Syria coming against Assad. Assad's father reportedly banned the Muslim Brotherhood and treated them horrifically to get them out. So now you have the very force now coming back, and he's fighting for his life, obviously, in the context of this. And we're getting in the middle of this while we met with the Muslim Brotherhood prior to going over into that area. And according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, that we're putting children of big leaders in the Muslim Brotherhood into high offices and not even vetting them. We're putting them into I'm not talking about Muslims, I'm talking about radical. I'm talking about Muslim Brotherhood into Homeland Security, our security. And it's like, what are we doing? We are going down if we don't humble ourselves. This is not something you don't need to physically go do something in the context. You got to just physically fall to the ground and say, rip your clothes and just say, dear God, and just deal with your sin and say, Lord Jesus, forgive us. We have sinned. We've fallen short. We just went our own way. 82% of people, I believe it is, according to George Barna, are not even reading the Bible, right? 82% are not even reading the Bible. The regular people call themselves Christians. What does that mean? You have no biblical worldview at all. You don't even have a biblical view of your life, which means we can be so far off, and we are, that we won't even know till we get back in the Word of God. So to repent means to get back in to find out what God says. And if you don't have a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching fellowship to go to that's hearing what God is saying, you need to find one. You need to find one in your area. You need to get up under a man or a woman of God that God's called, that hears from the Lord, that takes their time in going after God, that's hearing what God is saying today, what the Spirit's saying to the church today. And if you can't find one, and you're in the Gulf Coast region, you need to join at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org, or you can just join virtually, and you can listen. You got to listen to what God is saying now. You need now words, so you got to have to make now moves. And you can go online at vinefellowshipnetwork.org and you can join us. You can join us on VFN TV. You can join us on VFN Radio live every Sunday, straight from the VFN Dream Center. A word is coming out, and it is a now where God is doing some amazing things. There is hope, but the hope is only in God. It always was only in God, but there's been a false hope preached. There's been a false hope of things and stuff and forms of government in the world, and but there still is hope. And I think about this as we're closing today. I think about our founding fathers and what they were willing to do. They were willing to stand up for what was right. They were living under tyranny, under a king that was over the church. And if you left the church, it was like treason. Because the king, they consider the king over the church. So if all of a sudden you thought, well, this is not correct doctrine, you know, Jesus is Lord, the king's not Lord, the king's, then they would either imprison you or behead you. And they wanted a land to be able to go to for freedom, to be able to freely worship. They tried a couple of different ways. They tried to do it there, and that wouldn't work. The Queen was totally against them. And then finally they tried to escape, and they were being imprisoned. They were being robbed. They were being horrifically treated. And if you haven't seen that one, what's the one? Not enough time to really think about it, that the young actor did. Can't think of it right now. But we'll make it available on the VFN Torch. That they finally got on some small boats. We make a big deal out of these small boats, but the truth is they were small boats.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 120 pilgrims came over.
Monumental.
You've got to see Monumental and get a quick perspective. And they came over, and when they came over and they landed finally in America, that they, over half of them died.
Mm. Yeah.
And they laid their bodies over their other ones so that they would live. And so when they made it through these difficult snows and weather, then they were down just to a few people. Why? Because they believed in you today. They believed in you today. Why would you take what they laid down their lives for? When you think about George Washington and what he laid down, he was willing to lose his head over this. Are we willing to lose our comfort and convenience? Say, you know what? I'm going to stand up for God. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to find out what the Constitution says, and I'm going to protect the constitutional rights of this country. I'm going to be a Christian American.
Mm.
Go figure, right?
Imagine that.
You can find out more on the VFN Torch.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.